Søren Kierkegaard, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. Part 2. Section 2. Kierkegaard's Thought. Kierkegaard has been called a philosopher, a theologian, the father of existentialism, a literary critic, a humorist, a psychologist, and a poet. Two of his popular ideas are subjectivity and the leap to faith, popularly referred to as the leap of faith. The leap of faith is his conception of how an individual would believe in God, or how a person would act in love. It is not a rational decision, as it is transcending rationality in favor of something more uncanny, that is, faith. As such, he thought that to have faith is about at the same time to have doubt. So, for example, for one to truly have faith in God, one would also have to doubt that God exists. The doubt is the rational part of a person's thought, without which the faith would have no real substance. Doubt is an essential element of faith, an underpinning. In plain words, to believe or have faith that God exists without ever having doubted God's existence or goodness would not be a faith worth having. For example, it takes no faith to believe that a pencil or a table exists when one is looking at it and touching it. In the same way, to believe or have faith in God is to know that one has no perceptual or any other access to God, yet still has faith in God. Kierkegaard also stressed the importance of the self and the self's relation to the world as being grounded in self-reflection and introspection. He argued in Concluding Unscientific Postscript to Philosophical Fragments that subjectivity is truth and truth is subjectivity. This has to do with the distinction between what is objectively true and an individual's subjective relation, such as indifference or commitment to that truth. People who in some sense believe that the same things may relate to those beliefs quite differently. Two individuals may both believe that many of those around them are poor and deserve help, but this knowledge may lead only one of them to decide to actually help the poor. Kierkegaard primarily discusses subjectivity with regard to religious matters, however. As already noted, he argues that doubt is an element of faith and that it is impossible to gain any objective certainty about religious doctrines such as the existence of God or the life of Christ. The most one could hope for would be the conclusion that it is probable that the Christian doctrines are true, but if a person were to believe such doctrines only to the degree that they seemed likely to be true, he or she would not be genuinely religious at all. Faith consists in a subjective relation of absolute commitment to these doctrines. Section 3. Indirect Communication and Pseudonymous Authorship. Half of Kierkegaard's authorship was written behind the mask of several pseudonymous characters he created to represent different ways of thinking. This was part of Kierkegaard's indirect communication. According to several passages in his works and journals, such as The Point of View of My Work as an Author, Kierkegaard wrote this way in order to prevent his works from being treated as a philosophical system with a systematic structure. In The Point of View, Kierkegaard wrote, "In the pseudonymous works, there is not a single word which is mine. I have no opinion about these works except as a third person, no knowledge of their meaning except as a reader, not the remotest private relation to them." Kierkegaard used indirect communication to make it difficult to ascertain whether he actually held any of the point views presented in his works. He hoped readers would simply read the work at face value without attributing it to some aspect of his life. Kierkegaard also did not want his readers to treat his work as an authoritative system, but rather look to themselves for interpretation. Early Kierkegaardian scholars, such as Theodore W. Adorno, have disregarded Kierkegaard's intentions and argue the entire authorship should be treated as Kierkegaard's own personal and religious views. This view leads to many confusions and contradictions when make Kierkegaard appear incoherent. However, many later scholars, such as the post-structuralists, have respected Kierkegaard's intentions and interpreted his work by attributing the pseudonymous texts to their respective authors. Kierkegaard's most important pseudonyms in chronological order: Victor Eremita, editor of Either Or; A, writer of many articles in Either Or; Judge William, author of rebuttals to A in Either Or; Johannes de Silentio, author of Fear and Trembling; Constantine Constantius, author of the first half of Repetition; Young Man, author of the second half of Repetition, Vigilius Hofniensis, author of The Concept of Anxiety, Nicholas Notabien, author of Prefaces, Hilarious Bookbinder, editor of Stages on Life's Way, Johannes Climacus, author of Philosophical Fragments and Concluding Unscientific Postscript, Inter et Inter, author of The Crisis and a Crisis in the Life of an Actress, H.H., author of two ethical religious essays, Anti-Climacus, author of The Sickness Unto Death and Practice in Christianity. Section 4, Journals. Kierkegaard's journals are essential to understanding him and his work. He wrote over 7,000 pages in his journals describing key events, musings, thoughts about his works, and everyday remarks. The entire collection of Danish journals has been edited and published in 13 volumes, which consist of 25 separate bindings, including indexes. The first English edition of the journals was edited by Alexander Drew in 1938. His journals reveal many different facets of Kierkegaard and his work, and help elucidate many of his ideas. The style in his journals is among the most elegant and poetic of his writings. Kierkegaard took his journals seriously, and even once wrote that they were his most trusted confidant. I have never confided in anyone. By being an author, I have in a sense made the public my confidant. But in respect of my relation to the public, I must once again make posterity my confidant. The same people who are there to laugh at one cannot very well be made one's confidant. Søren Kierkegaard, Journals, November 4, 1847. His journals are also the source of many aphorisms credited to Kierkegaard. The following passage is perhaps the most oft-quoted aphorism from Kierkegaard's journals and is usually a key quote for existentialist studies. The thing is to find the truth which is true for me, to find the idea for which I can live and die. It was written on August 1, 1835. Although his journals clarify some aspects of his work and life, Kierkegaard took care not to reveal too much. Abrupt changes in thought, repetitive writing, and usual turns of phrase are among the many tactics he uses to throw readers off track. Consequently, there are many varying interpretations of his journals. However, Kierkegaard did not doubt the importance of his journals would have in the future. In 1849 he wrote, "Only a dead man can dominate the situation in Denmark. Licentiousness, envy, gossip, and mediocrity are everywhere supreme. Were I to die now, the effect of my life would be exceptional. Much of what I have simply jotted down carelessly in the journals would become of great importance and have a great effect. For then, people would have grown reconciled to me and would be able to grant me what was and is my right." Søren Kierkegaard, Journals, December 1849. Section 5, Kierkegaard and Christendom. As mentioned above, Kierkegaard took up a sustained attack on all of Christendom, or Christianity, as a political entity, during the final years of his life. In the 19th century, most Danes who were citizens of Denmark were necessarily members of the Danish state church. Kierkegaard felt the state church union was unacceptable and perverted the true meaning of Christianity. The main points of the attack include: church congregations are meaningless. The idea of congregations keeps individuals as children, since Christians are disinclined from taking the initiative to take responsibility for their own relation to God. Kierkegaard stresses that Christianity is the individual, here the single individual. Christendom had become secularized and political. Since the church was controlled by the state, Kierkegaard believed the state's bureaucratic mission was to increase membership and oversee the welfare of its members. More members would mean more power to the clergyman, a corrupt ideal. This mission would seem at odds with Christianity's true doctrine, which is to stress the importance of the individual, not the whole. Christianity becomes an empty religion. Thus, the state church political structure is offensive and detrimental to individuals, since everyone can become Christian without knowing what it means to be Christian. It is also detrimental to the religion itself, since it reduces Christianity to a mere fashionable tradition adhered to by unbelieving believers, a herd mentality of the population, so to speak. If church is free from the state, it's all good. I can immediately fit in the situation. But if the church is to be emancipated, then I must ask, by what means and what way? A religious movement must be served religiously, otherwise it is a sham. Consequently, the emancipation must come about through martyrdom, bloody or bloodless. The price of purchase is the spiritual attitude. But those who wish to emancipate the church by secular and worldly means, for example, no martyrdom, they've introduced a conception of tolerance entirely consonant with that of the entire world, where tolerance equals indifference, and that is the most terrible offense against Christianity. The doctrine of the established church, its organization, are both very good indeed. Oh, but then our lives, believe me, they are indeed wretched. Søren Kierkegaard, Journals, January 1851. Attacking the incompetence and corruption of the Christian churches, Kierkegaard seemed to have anticipated philosophers like Nietzsche who would go on to criticize the Christian religion. I ask, what does it mean when we continue to behave as though all were as it should be, calling ourselves Christians according to the New Testament, when the ideals of the New Testament have gone out of life? The tremendous disproportion which this state of affairs represents has, moreover, been perceived by many. They like to give it this turn. The human race has outgrown Christianity. Søren Kierkegaard, Journals, June 19, 1852. End of Part 2. This song found all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.